Our first reading this morning comes to us from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. This is the Apostle Paul's letter to the Romans in chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Our second reading comes from Matthew chapter 9. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, also known as Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Cananean, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without payment, give without payment. Take no gold or silver or copper in your belts, no bag for your journey, or two tunics, or sandals, or a staff, for the laborers deserve their food. Whatever town or village you enter, find out who in it is worthy, and stay there until you leave. As you enter the house, greet it. If the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet as you leave that house or town. Truly, I tell you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah on that day of judgment than for that town. See, I am sending you out like sheep into the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of them, for they will hand you over to councils and flog you in their synagogues, and you will be dragged before governors and kings because of me, as a testimony to them and the Gentiles. When they hand you over, do not worry about how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you at that time. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death, and you will be hated by all because of my name. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly I tell you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? God, you tell your disciples that When the time comes, you will give them the words that they are supposed to say. By the power of your Holy Spirit, I pray that you would guide me, give me a bit of your wisdom, and allow me to share with your people, each in the way that they can understand, and take your word to heart. God, none of us is perfect. We are all sinful. We are all at times drawn to the darkness. But we pray in this moment that we might come more fully into the light and be used as your instruments to spread your light throughout the earth. Oh God, may this not just be lip service, but may it be so. In Jesus' name, amen. Ordinary. Ordinary is not a word that stirs our souls, is it? Ordinary. Yet last Sunday was a big day in the church calendar. I don't know if you know this or not. In the church, it is celebrated as Trinity Sunday or Peace with Justice Sunday or both. And we talked about that a bit last week. It seems very relevant to the time in which we are living. But it also is the beginning of a season in the church calendar that is the season of Pentecost. That's right. Pentecost isn't just a Sunday when we read Acts 2 about the Holy Spirit coming upon the disciples in Jerusalem and how they burst forth from the house sharing the good news in the languages of all the Jewish people gathered there. It is the birth of something, the start of something, the birth of the church and the work we are charged to do. And so after Pentecost comes Trinity or Peace with Justice Sunday, or both, and then we set off on a journey through the season of Pentecost. So while last Sunday was Trinity or Peace with Justice Sunday, it was also the first Sunday of Pentecost. Just to make things even more confusing, the season of Pentecost is also known by another name. It's called Ordinary Time. Traditionally, in the church, we mark the season of Pentecost, or ordinary time, by dressing our church in green. We spend a long time in green. Growing up in the church and coming from a family that has always been intimately involved in the planning and execution of worship, I've pretty much always known that I've known these terms, but I could never figure out why anyone would name a season ordinary. I mean, ordinary means common, nothing special. People don't strive to be ordinary. You know, one day I hope that I'm ordinary. No one strives to do that. The church doesn't, or at least it shouldn't strive to be ordinary. Why in the world would we name a season in our calendar ordinary? It's the longest season in our church calendar. And today, the second Sunday of Ordinary Time, it's like we're at the very beginning of a marathon. I hope you brought plenty of power bars and to snack on and comfortable running shoes, because here we go. Why would you call a season ordinary? You want to know why? It's because ordinary isn't referring to common or nothing special. The root of the word ordinary is ordinal. And most people can tell you, who know me well, that math is not really my thing. I can do a budget. I can do a church budget. That's about it. But I do remember that ordinal is a mathematical term, and it's about the order of things. That it says ordinals is like saying that things count. So when we enter into ordinary time, it's not common, it's not nothing special, it's a reminder that each day counts. The church is born at Pentecost, and we have a mission to make disciples of Jesus Christ. No day is a throwaway. Each day counts. Each day matters when it comes to us fulfilling our mission. Now, isn't that quite the profound statement to make when we've all been cooped up at home and many of us are counting down till life can begin again? But life is now. Today counts. Today matters. For a while now, Jonathan has taken summer on the first Saturday of every month to Home Depot, where they have workshops teaching kids how to use tools, and they get to build something. The first weekend we began self-isolating was at the very beginning of the month. And so Jonathan took summer to Home Depot. You know, looking back on it, it sounds silly now, knowing what we know about self-isolation. But Jonathan took summer to Home Depot, wondering if they would still have the workshop while social distancing or something. But they were handed a bag with instructions for the project and were able to bring it home to build instead. So the project was a set of binoculars. So a few days later, Summer and I, having the project now being at home, the two of us built it with her hammer and painted it. I got to tell you that I have always thought that binoculars were pretty cool. How about you? They help a person to see things that seem far away and out of focus. What we, the church, do with today and every day going forward counts. And so as we enter into this new sermon series, we're breaking out our binoculars, asking God to open our eyes to that which seems far off and out of focus, that we might see what makes today count, what makes it matter, what makes today not just ordinary, but extraordinary, and what is the part that we are supposed to play in bringing it into the light, bringing into the light the profound significance and purpose of this day and every day. As we do, we hear this familiar reading from the Gospel of Matthew, and it's easy to overlook how profound it is. It begins with, when Jesus saw the crowds. When the Bible says Jesus saw something, he wasn't just looking at something on the surface and then moving on with his day. He was really seeing it. All of it. He was looking below the surface at the heart of the person in front of him. Jesus was going about his ministry, and he really saw the people. And the passage continues on saying that he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. He didn't look at them sitting on the side of the road and keep driving while avoiding eye contact. He didn't make assumptions about them based on their exterior or their job title or their language or their politics. He knew their names, their stories. He saw that they were struggling. He cared. He had compassion for them. He loved them. And because he saw them, he had to do something to help they who were helpless. And that he did. What did he do? He summoned his disciples and he sent them to meet people in their villages, in their towns, and in their homes, to meet them where they are. He sent his disciples out vulnerable with no extra clothing or food or an itinerary of where they were going to stay when they got where they were going. No, he told them to rely on God, to give them the words and to rely on the kindness of the people they met to provide what they need to sustain them. He sent his disciples to do his work, to go out and help the helpless, to heal people and share that the kingdom of God is at hand, that this day matters. He who saw the crowds sent his disciples to see the crowds, but not just to see them, to be agents of healing by the very act of seeing people and letting people know that God sees them, and to him, they are anything but ordinary. They matter. They're special. Friends, first of all, I want to convey to you that you matter. That you are special in the eyes of God. And I hope today that you see yourself just a little bit more fully as God sees you. But then I want to give you some homework. Almost all of us have smartphones, or at the very least a phone that can take a picture. If we don't have that, I'm pretty sure some way, somehow, we can get a hold of a camera. And what I want you to do is I want you to get up and go outside and see people from a safe distance, from a social distance, but go and see people. And I want you to take a picture of what you see. Really see people. Have compassion for them, as Jesus does for you and for all. Look beneath the surface and really see them. Because seeing is believing, and believing is loving. That is the call of we who proclaim Jesus, our Savior. Take a picture of what you see, and I want you to send it to me, so I'm going to know if you did it or not. Take a picture and send it to me at pastor@dentumc.org. Send me the picture, but also tell me the story of what you saw. And if no one sends me pictures, I'm going to bug you relentlessly about it until you do it. So let's see if we can do it the first week. To truly see someone is so powerful. And I want us to experience that together and give that gift to the world. We live in a world of people who are crying out to be seen. See the world, not as other people tell you to see it, but see it as God sees it. As God sees you, something special, something that matters, someone who counts. Amen.